Hello, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer McKee. I'm so excited to have you join me each week as we explore a variety of topics around life in the greater Palm Springs area. From real estate market updates to lifestyle topics, interesting people, food and entertainment, we keep it authentic and fun. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and follow Jennifer McKee Realtor on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to keep up to date on everything happening in the Coachella Valley. Also, be sure to go to Apple Podcasts and like and leave a review for this show. I really appreciate it. And now, without further ado, let's go to this week's show. Hey there, and welcome to the Real Life Show podcast. I'm so glad you could join us today. We have a great interview with an amazing woman, Megan Van Dyke, who is a performer and musician and singer. Just so many, she wears so many hats. Ryan, my co-host, interviewed her. Thank you, Ryan, for doing that.
My pleasure.
And I mean, she wears a lot of hats. What are some others that we can add to the list of singers, you know, songwriter, performer?
Well, she works at the McCallum Theater in the education area, and she talks about that in the interview. You know, Megan really embodies a lot of the values, the interests, and things like, you know, that you and I are naturally kind of drawn to in terms of the artists. That's one of the reasons why we moved down here to the LA area in Southern California. And then, you know, everyone who knows our story, we eventually settled out here into the desert. And, you know, Megan, who grew up here in the desert and then went to LA and then eventually found her way back here, we talk a lot about that journey and just the process of kind of finding your place and rhythm in the world and finding a way that, you know, you can have your cake and eat it too. And I think she kind of really embodies that, which was a fun conversation.
Totally. I absolutely love when we have artists on the podcast and creatives, because it really resonates with me, having the music background that I do and all the performing and acting and all of that good stuff. So it resonates deeply with me, and I'm drawn to the creative types. So it's so fun for me to hear stories of people, and Megan's is great. I just love that she was able to go to LA, try some things, and find her way back here and still make the life that she wants and get to create, because she's really such a huge part of the arts community here in the desert. She gigs a lot and is involved in a lot of different things.
Yeah, she's really busy and really inspirational too. And it's been fun getting to know her and meet other people here in the valley that are able to do that. So
there's so many people here. You wouldn't think that a place like Palm Springs would have such a large arts community, but there really is. And there are a lot of musicians that are able to make a living
and a good living. Yeah.
A good living, gigging, and just, it's such a tourist hotspot here. So people are always wanting to be entertained, and there's a lot of different resorts and clubs and places and venues to perform, which I found very interesting coming out here. And I don't gig right now. I haven't in so many years, but I have guest appeared with some people while they're performing, and they'll ask me to like come up and do a duet with them or whatever. And it's just such a fun place. People are so welcoming here in the arts community, and I love it. So I'm very excited about you guys hearing this amazing interview with Megan Van Dyke.
Megan, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast. We are excited to chat with you today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we appreciate it. We got connected a while back on a project, shooting some video stuff. And in the short time that we worked together, you had mentioned a little bit about your story, and I found it really interesting. And I think more people would probably find it really kind of a fascinating journey that you've been on. How long have you been out here in the desert? Is the desert home? Did you grow up in LA? Where's kind of that backstory?
The desert is pretty much home for me. I was born in Spokane, Washington.
Oh, wow.
And we moved out to Palm Springs when I was 2. Wow. So the desert is really all that I know as far as home goes. I mean, I moved away and lived in Los Angeles and went to school in Bakersfield and then back to LA, and I've been back home in the desert for about 6 years now. So when I say home, it's the desert.
This is home. So high school and all that out here?
Yep, everything was out here. My sophomore year of high school, I did go to OSHA, which is Orange County School of the Arts in Orange County, but I commuted. So it was quite a trek that I put my mother through. You know, early Monday morning, 5 a.m., we'd drive out there. I'd stay with an aunt or a friend throughout the week. And then Friday, my mom would drive back up and pick me up and spend the weekend home. And then I'd get up Monday morning, do it all again. And it just got to be a little too much.
Sure.
Yeah, it was hard. I had no, you know, social life outside of school. And I missed being home. And living out of a suitcase all week was really tough, I think, especially being a 15-year-old. So I finished out the end of my sophomore year at Palm Desert High School. And then I was auditioning and I really wanted to try out this acting and performing thing. So my junior senior year in the desert, I did independent study. So I graduated from the district. And during that time I was taking college classes at College of the Desert. But all those classes were musical theater and dance and anything that I could do performance related, I wanted to do it. And then aside from that, I was going to LA and taking acting classes and auditioning.
Was your plan at that time to do like Broadway type stuff or more just acting, or were you trying to get yourself well-rounded? What were you thinking?
It's funny because I grew up doing theater. I did my first show with College of the Desert at 8 years old. So from 8 to 18, I was doing a lot of theater. That's really all I was doing. But then on the side, I was going to LA and auditioning for independent films and, you know, pilots and all that kind of stuff. But it's funny, as much theater as I did, that really wasn't anything I wanted to pursue. I just loved it. I wanted to do more of the, you know, film and TV aspect of acting.
And so that's high school and then some college. But you eventually got on some TV jobs, right?
I did. So when I was, from 18 to 21, I was working for Disney. So I was a host for Disney 365. Which I don't even know if it's actually still even a thing on Disney anymore. You might know because you have young girls.
Right, right.
But it's a 2-minute interstitial on Disney. And I got to do really cool, fun things. Interview Disney Channel stars. I got to go to the Walt Disney World Christmas Day Parade and interview the Jonas Brothers and the cast of High School Musical and Corbin Bleu, just all these stars that were big, you know.
Oh, yeah.
10 plus years ago.
Sure.
I did that for many years. And then by that point, I was finally living in LA, you know, doing the acting thing where you wait tables at night and audition during the day and try to fit acting classes in. I did that for probably 5 or so years until I realized, I don't think I want to do this anymore. It's
a grind.
It is, you know, it is. And I think at that point in my life, I didn't have the motivation to want to continue it. So at that time, my sister was working for Cal State Bakersfield. And so I had gone to visit her and we were walking around campus and I thought, this is kind of cool, college life. Now, granted, I did do 2 years at COD.
Right.
So after I graduated high school, that was one thing I was going to do. After those 2 years, I didn't have any interest in going back to school. So then fast forward, you know, 5-6 years later, I'm back at school, which was the best thing that I could have done. I got a college degree and it was something I never thought I'd ever do.
What'd you get your degree in?
Communications.
Oh, okay. So kind of in a similar field.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like the best fit for me. My minor was in theater.
Okay.
Which all of those COD, you know, classes that I took helped to get that minor. But it was honestly the best thing I could have done. So from there, I had started working at a production company, actually, in Bakersfield. I worked for a news station also. So I kind of thought, well, maybe this might be something I'm interested in. Maybe I want to be behind the camera and not in front of the camera. So once I got my degree, I moved back to LA and I worked for the Ski Channel and the Surf Channel, working as production manager for a couple movies. And I did that for about a year. And then I just wanted to move back home. Mm-hmm. It was a year of making $8 an hour, working, 16-hour days. And I just felt like it just wasn't for me. So I moved back home and started working for the McCallum Theater. And then from there, I just kind of got back into all the things that I was really passionate about, when I was growing up. So I started doing theater again. I started performing in a band. I met Doug, my partner, who is now my duo partner, who I get to sing duets with all the time. And I'm still working for the McCallum Theater, and just kind of, I do a little bit of everything.
Well, and that's it's interesting to me. And I want to get into some of that too. I'm curious with, like the Disney show and that whole season. And I would assume, did you have an agent at that time? Or are you just doing auditions on your own?
No, I had an agent. When I was still living here in the desert, before I made the move out there, I had an agent.
Right, okay. So you've really, the thing that I think is fascinating and it gives you a unique perspective is, you've kind of experienced that gamut of the Hollywood experience from the actor, you've got an agent, you're going to auditions, you're getting on Disney, then you're working on the production management side, you're getting behind the scenes experience. And I know for myself, we were living in Seattle for 15 years or so, and then we made the move down to LA because we had wanted to we had done a lot of production work in the Seattle area, and it was one of those moments where we were like, okay, if we're going to really go to the next level, we're going to have to be in LA. We've kind of probably got one big move left with the kids and with our lives, so let's make the move. And we did, and we came down, and it's been a lot of fun, but you don't know what you don't know until you get in and do it. And so you kind of look at it from the outside and you think, this might be cool. I might like that. It seems really appealing and maybe a good fit for me. And then you get into it and you go, this isn't going to work. Like, for me as a parent, I've got five kids, I've got a life, and I'm like, I'm working alongside people. These are 15, 16 hour days in the production side of things. And you go, I don't think that I want to sustain this long term, it's going to be a sacrifice for them. I'm not really making enough money to make this, really worthwhile. But you don't know until you try stuff, and then you kind of pivot and do something else. And it's interesting to me. I think the piece that I find really compelling too with your story is the courage to try things. You didn't get kind of pigeonholed or stuck in one area. You were willing to try something else. You try something else. And now it seems like, you guys are in a place where you go, this is a really good fit for who we are as artists and to create a life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very lucky with what I'm doing right now, but you're right. I needed to move to LA. I needed to go back to school. I needed to do all those things to figure out if it was really something that I wanted to do or not.
Yeah.
And living in LA, my first month was great. I'm 20 years old, living in LA on my own for the first time. And it just got to be too hard because you realize, no, I'm an adult now and I've got to figure this out. I don't have mom and dad to help me anymore, So yeah, I made some pretty bold moves in my early 20s, but I would not change it for the world because now I'm back here. I figured out pretty much, what I want to do. And even so, I'm still, even if I haven't quite fully figured it out yet, I'm still doing things that I love and that I'm passionate about.
But do any of us ever really figure it out?
I don't know.
I've changed careers so many times.
I still, at 34 years old, say, I'm not sure what I want to be when I grow up.
Right.
Which is still the case. However, again, I've found things that I love to do.
To me, some people, you know, we live in a really strange culture where there's so much, we love to categorize and put everybody into a little box and label everything like that, right? And so I'm co-writing a book with a friend right now. And it's all about that concept of, while niches are important and specialization is important and, you know, it works for certain kinds of people in certain kinds of fields, you know, for really the rest of us, to me, it's like the argument of like, you know, if I'm a human being, I can do all kinds of things that other species on the planet can't do. Why don't I allow myself the freedom to explore and try those things? Why in the world would I want to like limit myself to a couple of, you know, little activities? So I'm like, the world is a great, big, beautiful place. Like, I'd like to see some of it and try some things. And
sure.
But yeah, so it's funny that, you know, you've got this singing and I assume dancing and acting background and all of that. And here you are now in the desert and working at the theater and you're doing stuff. Tell me a little bit about what you and Doug are working on.
Doug and I, we started out, well, so we met about 4 years ago. And I met him at one of his shows. He has an original band called The Flusters. And at that point, I was in this cover party band. And, you know, we had all of these things in common, especially our love for music. So we start dating. And of course, everyone, especially our mothers, are asking, you know, when are you guys going to do something together? So we were way too busy when we first met in the first year of our relationship to do anything together, musically. But we got some downtime and thought, well, let's try something out. I don't know. So we had someone else kind of come in and play guitar, and we had this trio for a little over a year, and just did really well with it. Got booked a lot of different places very quickly. And then Doug and I just realized we wanted to do it just together, just have a duo and do the gigs that we wanted to do and sing the songs that we wanted to sing. And so we've had our duo really for about a year now, and it's been great. I mean, we perform at different country clubs all over the desert, just private parties, weddings. And it's great to be able to do what I love to do, which is sing next to my best friend.
My experience with the desert, coming from the Seattle market, where my background was as a musician, Jens was a musician, we had a band, we did all kinds of stuff up in that area. The market up there was very different. You had a couple of casinos, you had a few bars. For most musicians to play and perform, you maybe had some university places, but it was like tips and really hard to make a living. My experience coming in from the outside, now living down here for the last couple of years, it seems like there are much better opportunity for performing musicians to make a living here in the desert. Has that been your experience, or has it been different?
That has been our experience completely. I never, besides my corporate party band experience where they brought me on, I didn't have any experience in booking gigs for myself, and I didn't have any contacts. And so once Doug and I started working together, it was like, I mean, country clubs I had never heard of, and, you know, companies I had never heard of coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, you know, we've got this party or we've got this event. I mean, live music in the desert, there is no shortage of whatsoever.
There's jazz groups and rock bands. And there's a lot of groups that play.
Yes, it is a booming music community. And we're grateful because typically from, really, I would say from October through May, we're busy.
How has COVID impacted you guys? Has that just been a huge...
Yeah, no, it definitely affected us. This happened in, I would say, the middle of March, and Doug and I probably lost 10 to 15 gigs that we had scheduled. Some are postponed till who knows when. So that's been the bummer for sure. But surprisingly enough, I mean, we've stayed fairly busy with Facebook Live shows, and we actually have our first virtual gig on Friday. So it'll be an interesting experience. But
because I see you guys have done some stuff with CoachellaValley.com. It seems like there's been some other like online events and things that you've been trying to do. And
yeah, we've kept pretty busy during this quarantine. We did a couple live shows for Coachella Valley Facebook. And then Visit Greater Palm Springs, the convention, you're going to have to cut this out, Ryan, but Visit Greater Palm Springs Convention and Visitors Bureau released a music video in May featuring local talent and featuring our beautiful community that we live in.
Now, did Doug film that? Did he produce it? Or?
No, that was Summerland Creative.
Gotcha.
Produced and edited that.
Okay. But he did something else recently, right?
So we actually filmed my sequences in, I want to say, January.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we filmed it luckily beforehand, and they figured May would be a good time, you know, to come out with the video. So that was really cool to be a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a beautifully shot video. Doug and I have tried to release just a couple, you know, of our own things, some videos. At the end of March, we put out a cover of Imagine.
Yeah, I saw that. It was great.
Which Doug and his partner did shoot.
Okay.
So we did that, and not sure if you saw the Tiger King video.
Yes.
But that came... April was the height of Tiger King, right. And Doug just said, I have to do a video. I have to. And I did not see his vision at all. I had no idea what I was going to do in the video. I said, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and you do it, you know, and I'll just be a fan. And he said, no, I need you in it. And so I was in it, and our cat was in it. And
you can't do Tiger King without Carol Baskin.
Oh man, it was it was funny. We actually shot that pretty much in our backyard, and we'd have people watching on their balconies, you know, what we were doing, and so it's kept us busy. I mean, one thing we've wanted to do is stay creative,
right?
And that's what we've done.
Yeah.
So I've actually been. So I work for the McCallum Theater's education department.
Okay.
We closed around the third week of March, and I've been working from home since.
Wow.
So I pretty much still had a full-time job just at home, but I was just finally, which we kind of knew it was coming, I was just furloughed 2 weeks ago. But it was still nice because we were still home. You know, I was able to work from home, and we didn't have any gigs, so we had extra time to be creative.
Yeah.
So
right. Your role with the McCallum, you said it's educational. Are you working with like schools, or who are you trying to?
Okay. Yeah, well, we have four different programs. We have Open Call, which is a talent competition that they have. And then speaking of that, Doug just shot a music video for that. So Open Call usually happens in April. At the theater, and they have 19 finalists that they had chosen, and then the theater shut down. So we wanted to find a way to highlight those 19 finalists. So our director of education came up with this idea to do a COVID safe music video. So we did that. It's called Together. We premiered that about 2 weeks ago. And it shows the finalists that were chosen for the show. And you'll have to check it out if you haven't seen it yet. But and then we also have for the theater a choreography festival. We have a field trip series where we bring students into the theater for performances. And we have the aesthetic education program, which sends teaching artists out into the classrooms to ensure that the arts are still in school.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, that's great. That's great. Because, yeah, it's, I mean, you know, my first love is music and the arts and that whole community. So to me, it's super important to see that continue to be something that is invested in here in the Valley, especially. Hang on just a second. I've got a dog that wants to get out. Okay. I may leave that in just for something additional.
Why not?
Enjoyment, right?
Well, and for me, I'm a theater kid. So
right.
Having the knowledge that I have now, you know, of some children may never be able to go into the theater. Mm. Some children have never had that experience without some of the programs that we offer.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky. I was heavily involved in theater, and you know, my parents took me to shows all the time growing up. So to be able to be a part of something that reaches out to those schools and to those children that don't have the opportunity to see live theater,
yeah,
is awesome.
No, it's so cool. I'm glad you're doing it. What are some of the fun things you like to do here in the Valley? Places to eat? Do you guys do a lot of hiking? Are you adventurous? What's a day off look like?
Oh, a day off. What is that?
In an imaginary world.
I know. Well, when we get time off, Doug and I love to travel.
Okay.
So we have an almost 3-year-old Siberian Husky, Bowie, who we love to travel with. We love to go to the beach. We love to go to Big Bear. We love to go to the river. We always just try to get out of town.
Yeah.
You know, those, especially in the summer.
Sure.
We just got back from a 2-week trip to Washington and Oregon, and we have this week home, and then next week we're going to the river for 4 days. So we're trying to make the best of the quarantine, but we're still being safe. We're wearing our masks everywhere. We're Lysoling everywhere. I'm at least doing that. maybe not Doug, but but locally, yeah. I mean, we're such homebodies, to be honest with you. I mean, you would think we're so boring. But no, we like to be home. We love Netflix and, you know, different movies. But we also love to go out to dinner. I mean, our favorite places. Ooh, that's tough. We love Kitchen 86 on El Paseo.
Oh, kind of a newer, yeah, sure.
Newer, hip restaurant. We're big sushi fans, so we love Okura.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a must if you love sushi.
Yeah.
But as far as like nightlife goes, we are, because we're like in the nightlife, like we have that as our job almost, you know, we don't really go out. We're always part of the party.
Right.
You know. Exactly. But of course the Nest. I love to go to the Nest with my mom. That's always a fun little spot.
Yep.
But yeah, we have quite a few places that we love to go. But we're takeout people. We're takeout and Netflix people all the way.
Well, I mean, you can't complain with that. It's like you said, especially because you guys are already, you know, out probably a lot of nights of the week. You're working hard. You're in that kind of grind to a degree of the clubs and the restaurants and that whole vibe. So the last thing you kind of think about on a night off is like, hey, let's go back over to that same place we were at two nights ago and grab the pasta dish. It's like, I want to just like chill and hang out. No, I totally get it.
Yeah. Well, and I also, you know, I work a full-time job, and Doug does too, but his job is a little more flexible. So if I'm, you know, if I work from 8 to 4:30 or 5 o'clock, sometimes we have a gig at 6.
It's a long day.
And we're not home until 10, or we have a gig at 7 and we're not home till 11. I mean, it can be a lot. So if we get a night or a day off, we're taking it, and we're cooking or we're doing takeout and we're just hanging with the dog and that's it.
I get it. And Doug has just started a new production company, or is that something he's had going for a while?
No, it's fairly new.
Okay.
About 3 years ago, he quit his full-time job and went on a national tour with his band, The Flusters.
Wow.
And so music and video production, he's a creative being.
Yeah.
I mean, he thrives in anything where he can be creative. So he's still with his band, The Flusters. They're not gigging now, obviously, but they're still together. And about a year ago, his partner, Wolf, had come out from the East Coast, which is where Doug is from, and they knew that they wanted to kind of have this production company together. Wolf has a lot of experience shooting and directing, and Doug is, he's very hands-on, and he's an incredible director and editor. And, yeah, they've been pretty busy doing stuff. He just loves to be creative, and he loves that entire aspect of just creating something really cool.
And, what's the name of the company?
So it's Tracker Studios.
Tracker Studios.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they've worked with the Living Desert and the McCallum Theater as a very young company. They've done some really cool things.
Well, that's what I was impressed by, because having been out here for a while and worked with some different production companies, and I know how hard it is to you know, land jobs like that, I was impressed when I saw that they had started something and were getting some pretty significant clients. And I thought, man, good for them. That's not easy to do.
No, it's not. But Doug's a go-getter.
That's
he's
cool.
From the East Coast, so he's like all business. Yep, all business, all the time. So I really admire him for that. He's an incredibly hard worker.
That's funny. I've heard a lot of people have said that, and I noticed this more so in LA than in the desert, just because it's a different kind of environment out here. But those of us that grew up like in the Midwest, maybe East Coast people, and then you come to LA, compared to like an LA native, the ones who tend to land the jobs are all of your kind of West Coast, East Coast people that are from outside the area, because they have that like inner drive and desire to push. And I don't know if it's just the sunshine or the beach or whatever, but a lot of the LA guys are all just like, will I show up? Maybe I'll get there. I don't know. We'll see. It's really funny.
It's amazing. I mean, he just knew that, you know, quitting his full-time job, he was going to have to really grind and really work, you know, to build something.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that kind of burn your boats at the shore. Like, you can't go back. You've got to go forward. Like, there's only one way to make this work. Yeah, so.
Yep, there's no other option but to just keep moving forward.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and I think that's a good kind of attitude right now with everything going on with COVID. We just kind of take it a day at a time and, you know, take our hits and our lumps and re-strategize and try to figure out how to bob and weave and figure it out. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's been crazy, but. Sounds like you guys are making it work.
We're doing good. We're staying busy. And I've kind of started, I started a blog, Mad About Meg, like a few months ago. And I launched my website, I think in May. So I'm having fun doing that. And that's just kind of a fun way for me to kind of just a fun way for me to show our community different things.
Sure.
You know, things that are going on.
Well, you posted, I think, something on that on Instagram. It was like a little Starbucks tip or one of your favorite drinks. I can't remember now what it was, but it was actually at the time I was like, that's a great tip. And I think I've used it since then. So.
That was one of my obsessions of the week. I can't remember what drink it was. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
But that was like early on when I first started. I love doing that kind of stuff. Fun, you know, quirky little videos. And it helps that Doug is really good at shooting and editing because he can do all that stuff for me.
Yeah.
You know? So
is Mad About Meg the best place for people to find you, connect with you, or what are some of the other places you'd like to give a shout out to?
So I have my website, madaboutmeg.com, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook, Mad About Meg. And yeah, again, I'm just highlighting, you know, things that I enjoy doing. It's a personal, I guess, well, it's a personal / lifestyle blog. It's been a fun way for me to connect with different places and things.
Yeah. Well, I recommend everybody check it out. You're great. I've always enjoyed, you know, the limited time that we've had together. I just, you know, it's just like, wow, there's another kind of simpatico kind of artist connection. It's nice to have somebody that I feel like you're like, oh, yes, I really get, like, we were chatting and talking. I'm like, this is somebody that, you know, really understands kind of this world. This is fun. So one of these days, well, it'd be fun to, once we get out of, you know, potential virus deadliness, get together and hang out or whatever, and meet Doug and see you guys perform and stuff. But it's
well,
I hope
it was so great, you know, getting to spend that day with you and Jennifer and you guys were great to me, and
I appreciate it.
It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, so
thank
you. Cool. Well, I wish you the best, and you know, I'll be keeping an eye on things on Facebook. Hopefully you guys are able to get out there and do some more virtual shows and just keep growing. And so, but thank you for your time. And I look forward to following up and seeing how things are going.
Yes. Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Thanks. Take care, Megan.
You too.
Thank you, Ryan, so much for interviewing Megan. I loved that. I love hearing her story and all that she had to say and share today.
My pleasure. Yep, it was a lot of fun. She and I had a really good conversation, and I think it'll be something that people will appreciate. I'm looking forward to the post-COVID world when we can go see her and Doug perform and
for sure
get back out into the the music scene here in the valley. That's, you know, when you and I were living in the Seattle area, it was, you know, one of those things where so many of our friends and even us, when we're trying to get out and perform and play and stuff, it was really hard to find opportunity because there just were not that many places that not only could be a place to perform, but that even paid or anything. Right. Most of it was just, you know, you come in and get on stage and do your thing, and you're lucky if there's even tips. So it's been really cool, I think, to come down here and see so many of our friends and people that are playing and performing and making a living. And if we had had something like this, I think 10, 15 years ago, it would have been very different for us in terms of music career and opportunity.
Oh,
so it's really cool seeing how Megan and Doug are able to make a living at it.
Yeah, I'm very excited for the post-COVID world to go to live events, but I know that they're doing some things online. So check them out. Check her out on Facebook and Instagram and all the places and see what she's up to. It's fun to watch, and you'll enjoy the ride.
Yep. I think it was a great episode, great show, and look forward to chatting with you on the next one.
All right. See ya.